You're listening to Screen Heroes.
All right, I think we're good. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Screen Heroes podcast. I am your host, Derek, and I have with me my two lovely regular hosts, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody. This week we are talking WandaVision Episode 9, the series finale, and, you know, the whole series slash season as a whole as well. Everything is up for grabs. We'll give you a spoiler warning before we really dive into the nitty-gritty, but Ray, what do you got for us?
Oh my gosh, so much pressure.
So Jeez. Much pressure.
Oh, I just thought it would be fun if we talked a little bit about if we were in literally Wanda's shoes, what our alternate reality would kind of be influenced by, what sitcoms specifically, if you have something else in mind, movies, dramas, whatever, just, you know.
Ryan, so. do you want to go first, or you want me to go?
I think you should go first.
Okay. So I'm just going to get my silly answer out of the way. I would really, Please. I think it'd be really cool to model it after Futurama in the year 3000.
Ooh, yeah, that would be fun.
You know, have a robot best friend and, you know, a job on a spaceship and all that kind of cool stuff and see aliens and everything. So that's my silly answer. But
would it be animated?
I mean, I think it would have to be. I think, yeah. You know, if you saw a Futurama in like a super realistic type of design, it would be pretty freaky.
I agree. Yeah, just asking.
Yeah. But I guess my more like accurate answer to what you're asking is probably a combination of Friends and Community.
Yeah.
So I like the relationships on Friends, and I like, you know, they all go to the coffee shop and they live really close to each other. So they just kind of pop over all the time and spend a lot of time together and hang out. And I really like that. But I also like the kind of outrageous silliness of Community, where they have, you know, paintball fights and giant pillow fort construction and those types of things. So I want to merge those two worlds.
Hmm.
Wow.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Is that an okay answer, Ryan?
Oh.
I mean, it's all right.
Fine. What do you got?
Well, I did multiple sitcoms to try and be like WandaVision.
Nice.
Not really through the decades, because I haven't been alive enough decades to really appreciate some older sitcoms. But I had Family Matters, Saved by the Bell, Home Improvement, Spin City, and The Office.
Nice.
Spin yeah. City, that one you don't hear about much anymore.
No, I loved Spin City. I don't know what it was about it. Michael J. Fox is great. Even when Charlie Sheen came on, it was one of the ones where they replaced the main actor and was still pretty successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, those are the ones that I've watched the most that I feel like would probably be my Ryan Vision or my Wanda Ryan. I don't really know which one it would be.
You're Wanda Ryan.
I like Rye Vision. Rye
yeah.
Vision. Yeah.
Sounds like a piece of bread, like a sandwich.
I like it.
I mean, would you have sandwiches?
There would probably be a sandwich in the show, sure. Okay. What about you, Rachel?
So most of the sitcoms that I tend to gravitate to are workplace or friends like sitcoms. There's not a lot of family sitcoms that I really focused on that's influenced me. I have been watching TV like my entire life, so I'm super familiar with the old school stuff. The Munsters was one that I watched religiously. Because I always felt like I was the big weirdo, and
some of us still feel like you're the big weirdo. So.
Yeah, some of us still do, including
not myself. Saying me, but you know, other people might.
But yeah, I was obsessed with the Munsters as a kid, so that one I would definitely step into. You know, going later on. Golden Girls, I watched a lot. Boy Meets World would probably be in there, something similar to that. And then when we get closer to now, then, you know, Community is great because, again, all the wacky adventures, and that's where my head would go. But Parks and Rec.
I was going to say Parks and Rec would be a good one for you.
Yeah, Parks and Rec would be huge for me. And
definitely be like the Leslie Knope role.
Yeah. Yeah, I am a Leslie Knope type with a sprinkle of April in there. And lastly, The Good Place, because, you know, we're all really in the bad place. So those would probably get, you know, thrown in there. That would be my Rachel Ray.
That's good.
Ray Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think like while... I mentioned the ones that I did. I think like subconsciously, it would probably just be Seinfeld, and it would just be that completely mundane show about nothing constantly. Because growing up,
there'd be a little Scrubs mixed in there too.
Maybe a little Scrubs, yeah. It's just like, you know,
the musical episodes,
right? Right. The thing with Wanda was that, you know, the shows that everything was based off of was more from her childhood, and some of that might have, you know, was subconscious in her creation. And so Seinfeld was probably the largest sitcom influence. Number two would have been Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
So
that's actually, Fresh Prince isn't on my list because I figured you were going to say it. So I figured I'd go with stuff, the non-Fresh Prince. Although for me, growing up, Fresh Prince and Family Matters, I love them both pretty much equally. So, you know, I could take either one at that point.
That's fair. I mean, you get more money with Fresh Prince. You know, you get to live in a mansion in Bel Air.
That's true. But Family Matters, yeah, you get a cool nerd next door to hang out with.
Quote, cool.
Well, then eventually it becomes his show. And you,
yeah, and then eventually he goes to space and becomes an astronaut. And, like, yeah, things really go off the rails.
Yeah, they really like do. At one season. Point, they go back in time and fight on a pirate ship.
They do, yeah.
I don't remember episode. That.
It, yeah, was the last season, yeah.
He, Steve Urkel and Carl, they go back in time.
Yeah.
Like, go, really? Or, like, in a dream?
And they also, no, go to an alternate, really, reality.
Mm-hmm.
Where, that's, like, that's where sure they're rich. Crazy. Or where Steve's rich and, like...
Yeah.
It's a whole weird thing.
Okay.
It's I recently did a rewatch, so I'm pretty familiar with how crazy it went off on the last few seasons. Mostly just the last season, but...
Is it streaming anywhere?
Yeah, Hulu, I think. I think I watched it all on Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that show.
Worth a rewatch, honestly. It's
been great. A long time. Yeah.
It was one of the first shows where they actually had hints of treating a nerd with respect instead of, yes, he was a laughingstock for a lot of the show, but there's a lot of times when it was a big point that you need to respect everybody and, you know, yeah, including people that are different. So.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, in the end, if they really hated Steve that much, they could have gotten a restraining order.
It's true. Or paid to have him murdered.
I mean, I don't know. In Full House, they never do that to Kimmy. I mean, he is a cop.
Exactly. He knows how to hide a body.
Oh, geez. That got dark.
Okay. True. It was a little dark.
Anyway, moving on, Ray. What else moving you got on for us?
Snyder Cut leaked.
Sort of. It's a funny story.
They accidentally switched the uploads. It's pretty funny.
With the new Tom and Jerry live action film, because those movies are similar in a lot of ways, in that they both have actors and they both have CGI.
That's, and probably directors.
Right. There's some directors. On
the same streaming service. So there, you know, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, it was taken down fairly quickly, supposedly, you know, before anybody could finish the film, but definitely long enough for people to get, you know, the first hour or so, perhaps. I've seen some reports of the first hour or so. So, yeah, yeah. Some outlets were already posting spoilery headlines about some of the early content, which, you know, it's just frustrating. I expect that stuff from individual people, but when you're like an actual entertainment blog and you're posting spoilers from a leak on an anticipated film in your headline, it's just kind of shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm already worried that the whole thing is going to leak Just mm-hmm. I'm worried more than I would be like for other productions, just because, in fact, normally I would partake in the leaks, but because this one is such a big deal for like a big group of people, if it leaks, it would be really detrimental to look at, to the whole movement of, you know, the Snyder Cut movement that's kind of been a big deal for the past few years.
Yeah.
You know, there's already been someone on Reddit posted a picture from the after credits scene that gives a glimpse of the character in the after credits scene. You know, because of that, I'm worried. They've sent out the press screeners and stuff like that, so I'm worried the whole thing is going to leak before March 18th. And this kind of stuff does not help that at all.
No, it doesn't. And it wouldn't surprise me if it leaks. You know, people have become so just overjoyed with ruining stuff for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's taken trolling to a whole new level because it's just it's like targeted destruction of things people like, and it's really making me almost like recede from certain parts of the internet because it's just hate to be hateful.
I want to say that I don't think all people that would be like sharing things from the leak are like bad people that are just trying to troll. There's a lot of people that are in other countries that just won't legitimately be able to watch it, or people that just want to see it early and they're really not like out there ruin it for everybody. But the problem with it is that when you stream a leak or like download a torrent of a leak, that does not go towards the viewership numbers for HBO Max. So they're going to look at it and be like, well, this is unsuccessful, just like we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing will come of it.
Right. I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, it depends on how you handle yourself online, right? If you go and you get yourself a thing and you enjoy the thing or don't enjoy the thing, that's up to you. But when you go online purposely trying to drop spoilers and comment threads that have nothing to do, like we've talked about this before, right? Where people were posting spoilers for stuff in comment threads that had nothing to do with the topic. Mm-hmm. Right, we've had that for Marvel movies before, you know. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the type of person that I'm really talking about.
It's been a lot, it's going to be a lot of Snyder Cut news probably over the next few weeks. I know that somebody found an unlisted Darkseid trailer. You know how they're doing like the daily hero trailers? Mm-hmm. Someone found an unlisted Darkseid one, which was pretty cool. I did watch that because, you know, an unlisted trailer is not a full leak to me, but
no, it's definitely not,
you know. So I think we're going to be getting a lot of Snyder Cut stuff. I did read an article that said there wasn't originally an epilogue, but now they have an epilogue in the movie that's like an additional chapter. Mm. So, yeah. It's like 20 minutes long. So I don't know. I'm guessing it's like the wrap up nightmare scene where they added Joker and whatnot.
That would be my guess, especially with all the storyboard stuff that leaked. And I don't want to get into that because that's kind of spoiler territory. But the storyboards for what were supposed to be the following two films leaked. And so there's some thoughts in there. You can kind of guess where things are going. And this is such a weird movie, too, because it's supposedly a bit of a cul-de-sac. And we already, you know what kind of comes after it in certain aspects. So this is it's definitely a strange situation.
I expect a lot of us discussing that over the next couple of weeks because it's going to be dominating the, you know, superhero media with WandaVision over now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their next big superhero thing before that is Captain America or Winter Soldier and Falcon Winter Soldier. And that'll just be having the premiere, you know, right before the Snyder Cut comes out. So
other way around.
Oh, well, either way, it's like a day of difference or something like that. So at the same time, they'll basically be releasing.
Now, the Snyder Cut is doing a virtual premiere on Saturday, March 13th. It's fairly limited. It's not like something that just anybody can get into, but it is yet another opportunity for people to capture and see the film and do with it what people do with it. So
I can only hope that HBO Max or Warner Brothers or whoever is tracking the views and downloads from the torrents too. A lot of times they do that. With like The Mandalorian and shows like that, they'll track those because it is an important metric also, because at least it shows you how many people are interested in it.
Right. And I think you have to today. It's why, you know, the Nielsen ratings have to change. You know, people aren't tuning in at 7 p.m. on NBC or whatever. It's just not how modern television is viewed. And now with streaming, it's just not even possible. So they're not even caring anymore. Right. They drop stuff at, you know, 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Right. And they know most people aren't going to watch it at 2 a.m. Some people do. And, you know, all power to you. But that's not the goal. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But hey, look. People are furious right now, guys. I don't know if you've heard about this. People are angry. They are heated. They are hurt. MGM has replaced the real lion with a CGI lion in their logo.
They're also heard about Pepe Le Pew and everything else and Dr. Seuss. So let the snowflakes, you know, have a safe space with their real lion and their Pepe Le Pew while the rest of us live without it and continue our lives just fine.
Yeah, we'll be okay. I think we're going to make it.
Do you think I'll get a one-star review for that comment?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope we do.
No, it'll be like, the girl was just sitting there.
That's right.
Nothing.
Yeah. Why wouldn't she stand up for everybody?
All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we swap over to WandaVision?
I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will be talking WandaVision. All right, guys, we are back. We're here to talk WandaVision, the series finale. So this is your spoiler warning for all things WandaVision. This is the entire thing for WandaVision. Everything MCU up until this point is pretty much fair game for this conversation. All right. So that's your spoiler warning for the MCU. Let's go ahead and dive into it. Any particular place you would like to start?
The title. Because Rachel brought up a post in our Screen Heroes forum asking if we thought that this or the other shows that Marvel was going to be doing would have a second season. And it seems as if the answer is no,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people probably guessed. You know, a lot of us loved the show and wanted a second season, but this doesn't seem like the type of show that would have that. But the title of the show, of this last episode, is called The Series Finale. So, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. That pretty much answers that question.
It does. Now, it doesn't mean that Wanda won't have another show.
Sure. Or Vision right? won't have another show or whoever, you know. Yeah.
Right. But this incarnation of it, the tone, the overall arc is done. And it's an interesting way to tell television, because we've talked about this before, how like anthology stuff would be really great to see in this era of streaming. And we still don't get it very often. You know, The Watchmen was one season. Right. But other than that, in this, I mean, one season is pretty much never on purpose.
Right.
And so I kind of like this, because now they have all this flexibility to do whatever they want to do moving forward. And it's not about just continuing to tell the same story because they want to get renewed.
Except that Marvel doesn't have to do that, because everything they make is continuing to tell the same story in some way.
True.
So, you know, yeah, it is. I was going to say, the nice thing about it is that it can wrap up everything with a little bow, and you don't have to have a cliffhanger trying to get a second season. But in this case, there's always going to be a cliffhanger after everything they make, because everything has to lead into the next one, which is a little aggravating, but also I kind of love it. So it's a weird, weird mix, you know?
Yeah.
Like an addiction.
Yeah.
When we get towards the end of the conversation, I don't think they necessarily did a great job at that in this. You know, I think that the tail end is a little funky. I think a lot of the show is really phenomenal, but I'm not sure they really knew how to finish it.
I think that there was a lot of loose threads, and I was a little disappointed, because a lot of the interviews with the actors, you know, they talk about how everything pays off in the end, and you know, you get all the answers you're looking for and everything else, and really we didn't. And it, you know, if you read some of the interviews with the director, he said that a lot of things were cut that would have wrapped up it with a nice little bow, a lot of the things that are now just kind of loose ends in the universe. So that was a little disappointing. Overall, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the whole season. I thought the finale was a little weak, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Rachel?
Well, like we've kind of joked about, I think it's really tough for them to wrap up everything. This episode was already a huge, huge undertaking, and it was the longest one so far. So I think they presented so many different plot threads, so many different avenues that they could have taken, and they could only wrap up so much. I think they did what they had to do, and they put a clear end to Wanda and Vision's story. And I think those were the most important things to end.
Sure. But in my mind, if they can't wrap those kind of things up, then they shouldn't have put the threads in there to begin with. I mean, you know, then it's just a waste of everybody's, you know, those particular threads and our discussions on them. We had a lot of discussions about a lot of things. I'm not talking about the theories, but specific characters that didn't really get a good wrap up.
Like who?
That's where my problem is. I thought Monica didn't get a good wrap up. Senor Scratchy was like a tease the whole season that he was something more. And then that was nothing. Pietro, we didn't get a really great wrap up. Darcy and Jimmy. Darcy shows up for like 2 seconds, and she's a very important part of the episode.
Right.
But we didn't really get much there. I mean, there's a lot of like loose dangling threads that.
So let me ask, what were you hoping for with Darcy, Jimmy, and Monica?
Some sort of resolution to their characters. I mean, you know, something that, I don't know. You want a happy ending, right? We didn't get a happy ending for Wanda. We didn't get a happy ending for, I guess, spoiler alert, we never really said that, did we?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we did.
Oh, did? Okay. Yeah. Well, we didn't really get a happy ending for a lot of these characters, but some sort of ending.
Well, because I don't have as much of a problem with Monica because, you know, she gets to kind of go off into space. We kind of know where she's going. Yeah,
we get the post-credit scene, so that helped a little bit.
But with Jimmy and Darcy, we literally don't know what they're doing. Jimmy's just back with the FBI like he was before the show started, I guess. So his character doesn't really go anywhere except maybe he's slightly more confident in himself. And then Darcy just left. She just decided, nope, I'm not here, and literally left off screen.
Yeah.
I
don't think I really mind so much because since the episode is aired, Kat Dennings has flown to New Zealand to shoot Love and Thunder. So they put her in that.
And that's great.
Jimmy is coming back in Ant-Man Quantumania. So like I feel like they will get resolutions. It wasn't as important for them to, you know, do anything. And you know, it was basically Jimmy and Darcy's entire job to nail Hayward.
Yeah, but I would even go so far as to argue that like Vision's story doesn't get wrapped up.
It's a huge loose end too,
because we lose the imaginary Vision, right? The heart of Wanda Vision, that one gets wrapped up, and it's an incredibly emotional, touching scene that I thought both of them just killed. But the other Vision, the quote real Vision, he just also kind of just leaves,
disappears, and you don't know what anything about it.
Now, I don't mind the philosophical debate. I know a lot of people were trashing on that because it seemed anticlimactic. I love that, actually. I thought it was a really great way for those two characters to interact because they're androids, and I thought that that was perfectly in character. So the whole ship of thesis thing, it was super cool. I love philosophy and metaphysics, and all of that was just awesome. But for him to literally just be like, huh, yeah, I'm Vision, see ya, and then just leaves, we have no idea. Now, did he destroy himself because that was his directive? Is he going to be a good guy or a bad guy? Does he go after S.W.O.R.D. because of what they did to him? Like, he's just gone. And for Wanda, she thinks it's wrapped up, right? Because she doesn't really know what happened to the other one, I guess, unless Vision told her off screen somewhere. So this other Vision could just show up at some point. Is she not like, and I can't imagine she won't have some feelings about that.
Probably so not good ones since he tried to kill her.
Well, but at the same time, this, now he has all of her Vision's memories. What?
She doesn't know that.
No, she doesn't, but he can interact with her in ways he couldn't before. Right. And talk about things that they did together, even in the hex, He now knows all of that. And so it's just, it's a very weird situation where a lot of stuff happens in the finale, but I don't know that anything's actually tied up other than Hayward getting arrested.
Yeah, and we should talk about Hayward because he went from like antagonist to like straight up murdering children villain. Like, let's pop out of this car and take pot shots with my gun at the kids, right?
And children, yeah.
Yeah. And you get to see Monica's cool powers are really so cool.
Yeah.
But also, like, you didn't really get to see much from her in the whole episode. And that, so that was disappointing. I didn't expect to see, like, a fully realized Spectrum or Photon or whatever her name is going to be. But,
well, I think if they wanted to show her abilities, which was great, I think they could have done it like having one of the soldiers, like, think something was happening and, like, reflexively shoot, not knowing it was at kids. Right. And like kind of done it like something like that. But yeah, with Hayward has quickly become like legitimately my least favorite character in the entire MCU. I can't stand him. I don't like he's not like a bad guy that like, you know, you love to hate. I really like he's Walter Peck in the MCU, but trying to murder children. And I just can't. I have no interest in that character at all.
It was just a weird transition. You know what I mean? Like before he was just like an antagonist and then just goes straight to murdering children or trying to murder children. That was a weird thing too.
I don't think it was like straight to it. I think he had a goal ever since Vision died. And it was to bring Vision back and use him as a weapon. And he wasn't going to let anybody stand in his way, let alone Wanda and her, you know, pretend children. So I think it was just a little maybe more subtle or something, but the
growth for me, apparently.
The growth was there.
Okay.
Did you want him to announce it like in episode 5? He's like, by the way, in 9, I'm going to murder kids.
No. Yeah, that's what I wanted. Exactly.
But I like, thought so.
I think my problem with it, it's not so much that like, it's not telegraphed. It's more like at the beginning, we're supposed to believe that like he helped make S.W.O.R.D. what it is. He grew up in S.W.O.R.D. just like Monica did. And he's just, you know, he's embedded in that organization and he's leading this whole big group. And he's really, you know, cautious of superpowered beings. And then by the end of it, like it's that disconnect. It's the same disconnect as like sending the drone to Wanda. Like he knows how dangerous they are, but he's also a total idiot about how to confront them, right?
So point of that was to get her energy to power Vision, so that ended up, at least there was some sort of payoff there.
I mean, there was payoff. I really don't believe that was on purpose. I believe that was a happy coincidence.
Nah, he armed it to shoot her down.
Yeah. And I think that's a dumb thing. Like if he really realizes how powerful she is, which he seemingly does, because at no point do we think he's like really stupid until he does that. Right. And now he's seen these kids, one, you know, they have incredible powers too. And he's just going to use a handgun on them when all these troops are standing around. Like it doesn't make sense to me, but I don't like that character. So at this point, I'm glad he was arrested. So I hopefully don't have to see him again.
And hopefully Monica just takes over S.W.O.R.D. That would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know exactly how it'll go, but I'd be much more happy with that.
So what did you guys think though of the two visions and how that kind of resolved? I said my piece, but neither of you really.
Well, we talked about a lot of things in a small section and you went from several subjects. So chiming in to answer on that seemed like not a good idea. But so we get a lot in the MCU and kind of in superhero movies in general of like the character fighting the character with the exact same powers.
The MCU is notorious for that.
The MCU is really bad about it, but we get it in all kinds of superhero movies, but definitely because there's been so many MCU movies, it stands out. But this, you know, Vision's powers are so unique. It was interesting for a short time, you know, them like phasing into each other, and like there's not really a way to beat each other that way. And I think that the writers kind of knew that how's one going to beat up the other one when they have the exact same phasing powers and can just dodge or whatever. So having it go to a philosophy debate, I actually really enjoyed that. I thought that was great, and it was very fitting for Vision's character. I request elaboration or whatever he says. That was such a great line.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, everything about that scene for me worked, and I am so disappointed that people found that bad, because I thought it was perfect for the way a fight between two Visions would end. Yeah.
Yeah. I am in the exact same spot. I thought it was absolutely amazing. I thought just cinematically having the juxtaposition between, you know, the two witches and their crazy laser beams versus the two robots and their crazy laser beams. Like, it was good that one stopped and they kind of, you know, talked it out, hugged it out. That was a lot more interesting to watch than the same fight twice. And I always love that argument, the ship of Theseus. I heard it originally as like the axe, you know, if the head falls off and you get a new head, and right. Then the handle falls off. Yeah. Is it the same axe? And, so I've loved that, that philosophy question for years. I'm glad that it got put in here, because it was so well done. It just felt very natural, and you could tell that Paul Bettany was acting his ass off, and that, you know, when they were filming, I know he said that it was really confusing to do everything, but he did a great job. So it is a little disappointing that some people are just basic bitches who want to see stuff blow up, and that's it. Like,
well, then they should watch Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Exactly. It'd
be a lot closer than this show. This show, they said from the beginning, was going to be something different, something you haven't mm-hmm. seen before. And this last episode was closer to, you know, classic MCU stuff.
Than
the first few episodes were. But wait for Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's going to be like dudes punching each other and throwing shields. It'll be perfect for you.
Right. If you like, you know, Mission Impossible or the Bourne series, you're going to love Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, exactly. If you like the normal MCU type stuff, mm-hmm. you know, back around Winter Soldier times, when that movie came out, you're probably going to love this. So, yeah,
exactly.
Stick to that. Don't shit all over everybody else's stuff that they like. The worst part about that fight for me was, first of all, that his arc reactor didn't stay yellow when he put the thing. I thought that would have been really cool. But then also that he just, like we already talked about, that he just kind of flew away and did his own thing. And, you know, at least like a throwaway line to hint that he's like gone to the Antarctic to, you know, or something like
Fortress
that.
Of Solitude.
We're tracking his vibranium signature. We lost it around Antarctica or something, you know, something would have been better than nothing. Like, he could have just flown up into space and blown himself up, and we would have no idea. Right. It seems more likely that he's just going to be the new Vision in the MCU.
And that's where, like, I think the changing of the color on the emblem, like if it had stayed the yellow, I think that would have told everybody, like, yes, this is really Vision.
But his eyes changed, remember? So
his eyes changed, yeah.
That was the difference. That instead of that staying yellow, they changed his eyes, and that was like the signification that it was going to be taking that role.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, like, I've mentioned this before, like, Vision has become one of my favorite characters in the MCU. I think Paul's just done an incredible job with him, and I really like him. So I want to know if we're ever going to see him again. I don't necessarily, like, I don't know that. Like, I'll be sad if that's the end of him, but I want to know why it's the end. You know, where did he go? And that was just weird for me. But the change in the eyes was super cool, and I hope that he returns.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
So I guess we could talk about our Quicksilver, not Quicksilver, Ralph Boner thing. So
I don't know why people are so upset with this, because truth be told, like, it was never going to be a thing. They were never going to integrate the two worlds with that character.
Yeah, I think even in our early episodes when he was introduced and whatnot, that we all pretty much agreed that it was a long shot that it was Quicksilver from the Fox X-Men movies. Mm-hmm. But people are mad at Marvel for using that actor. It's like, come on. it kept everybody speculating for like 5 weeks, and that was like the top trending tag every Friday.
Weird, because like, weeks ago a showrunner said we cast him for fun, like this was fun casting for us. It was never meant to like be more than what it was.
Yeah. It was a friendly nod to the multiverse and, you know, the Fox X-Men movies. But yeah, hoping for more than that was just a fanboy hope. And in my mind, I didn't really love those other movies anyway, most of them.
So right?
It's like, would it have made my world better if they were canon in the MCU? No.
No.
Except Quicksilver. Like, he was the highlight. But yeah, I mean, no.
It helps them avoid a lot of baggage. Right, which is what Disney did when it took over Star Wars, right? It changed what canon meant for Star Wars, and Marvel has to be careful in the same way. The X-Men timeline is legitimately the most convoluted, confusing, contradictory timeline that we have in superhero genre for film and television. Mm-hmm. It just is. It's a mess. And I don't blame them for wanting to stay clear of that at all. I really don't.
Yeah. The only question I had at the end was that necklace that he had. Mm-hmm. Did that give him super speed also? Like, can Agatha give powers to people? Like,
that's a question that I had as well, because if she can do that, why wouldn't she give herself that power? Because that would have been hugely advantageous. She would have easily
beaten Wanda, because Wanda could not respond faster than the speed of light. Right. I mean, as much as we can tell.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. It's a weird question. Or can she like only unlock latent powers in people, and like he actually does have the Quicksilver powers but it hasn't been unlocked, or who, you know,
that's kind of cool. I like that theory a bit better, because
she could unlock people's minds from Wanda, so I mean that something like that would make more sense, I think, but who knows. I mean,
right,
it's one of those threads that wasn't that important really in the end, as much as like I would prefer Darcy and Jimmy Woo get their wrap up or whatever more than this, obviously, but it was kind of a weird loose end. Mm-hmm.
Well, it felt more like just kind of a way to kill time for Monica rather than it being anything narrative, you know, because like they're like, well, we're giving her all these powers, we have to find a way to sideline her or she's gonna want to get involved, and this is what they came up with.
Well, and that's something I'm glad that they eventually let her go, because if she had been sidelined the entire episode, I think that would have really pissed me off as a fan. Mm-hmm. But I love that she got to kind of team up with the kids, and they had a couple quips, and her little, I guess, mid-credit scene with the scroll was a lot of fun. It was cute, it was succinct, it was to the point, and it was a huge callback to both it's connected to so many things. It's a callback to Captain Marvel, it's a connection to Captain Marvel 2, as well as the Nick Fury secret invasion show that we're gonna get. So a lot of cool things that just, you know, 3 or 4 minutes had to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it was probably more of a tie-in to Secret Invasion than it will mm-hmm. be to Captain Marvel 2, but obviously the character's gonna be in both, so who knows at this point. It's right. All just speculation, but yeah, I mean, it's cool that it does have a connection to everything for sure. And you know, they aren't really obvious about who wants to see her up in space. It's just this mysterious he character, but you know, all the savvy Marvel fans know that it's Nick Fury.
I'd love it to be Fury and Talos. Like, that would be
Talos great. Also.
Please be Talos. But,
it could be, you know, like we've seen the Kree be the good guys on Guardians of the Galaxy, and we've seen the Kree be the bad guys in Captain Marvel. So it could be some of the Kree factions. We don't know, but it'll be a lot of fun.
It's likely Nick Fury. I think that's the most obvious answer, but it could also be Talos. I'd say it's definitely one of the two of them. But yeah, it would be weird if they could go off on a crazy tangent and do one of the other characters.
Well, the thing that I love about the MCU currently is they're really branching off from the comics, where, you know, this race of aliens is always evil and this race of aliens is always good, whereas, you know, that's not how things are ever. Mm-hmm. So I like that the Skrulls have been portrayed as a good guy so far, and it's the Kree that have been mostly bad, but that's not, it's not going to stay that way. And
well, there's good apples and bad apples in every group.
Exactly.
Creatures, right? I mean,
and comics don't always work that way. So this is fantastic. I like what the MCU is doing with the cosmos at this point.
So we have to get to Wanda and Agatha and their big confrontation, their big battle.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Catherine Hahn has one of the best witch laughs in cinema.
Oh god, that. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, she was meant for this role. She just really took great command of it,
and they didn't kill her off.
They didn't kill her off. Like, I'm so thank you, thankful,
Marvel. My god,
that they've learned from that. Like, you know, because they've killed off so many of their villains, and so many of them have been really good. Mm-hmm. That to have her around still is really fantastic. And you know, it doesn't mean that Wanda has to be the one to wake her up either. There are other sorcerer type people that could do that if, you know, they were drawn to her in some way because they can sense her real innate abilities or something.
Oh, I hope that since we are like looking at Scarlet Witch to connect with Multiverse of Madness, I hope it's Mordo.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
You know, he's on that mission to get rid of all the sorcerers and stuff. I really hope it's Mordo. That would be a lot of fun. But Catherine Hahn is super happy with the way that her story wrapped up. She thinks it's a really cool kind of prison to be put in. And she thinks the punishment fits her crime, basically. And she's happy that the opportunity is still around for her to come back. So usually, you know, if the actor is happy with it, I can totally make peace with it myself.
I think one thing that is unique about this show is that, like, Wanda is a sympathetic character. You know, she's the hero of the story, but she is absolutely not a hero. She is a fucking villain and one of the worst in the MCU at this point. I mean, she literally mind controlled a whole group of people that would rather die than continue living in this world. I mean, she fucked up a lot of people. And, you know, the way this show frames it is that this is sympathetic and like she didn't know she was doing it and whatever else. But regardless, she did it and it was messed up and she It was really screwed up. So she is absolutely a villain at this point. You know, going forward, she's clearly going to be an antagonist for sure in Doctor Strange 2. Probably the catalyst that sets off the real villain, similar to a Batman v Superman scenario.
Something like Doctor
Strange 2.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sums it up pretty well. It really does. And
a lot of people are forgetting, though, that she's a villain. They're overlooking this, like, whole town that was like, please just kill us, you know. It's just to be like, oh, her costume's cool or whatever. It's cool, but she's like a straight up villain. So
hey, villains can dress well, nothing wrong with that.
Clearly, you know? I mean, even Agatha was dressed well, so we can't really say anything.
Been dressed well since the beginning.
Right, exactly. I mean, that suit he had when he went to Germany, like, come on. Oh, he looked,
yeah,
he looked
pimp awesome. Right there, man, he looked great. I completely agree. You know, her conversation with Monica as she left, as well as her remarks or, you know, walk of shame through the town was completely deserved. And I had no idea what they were going to do, if she was going to completely, I guess, like turn herself in, or if she was gonna run off or whatever. So I kind of like that she just went off by herself.
Yeah, I mean, she should. In fact, not only should she be going off by herself, but like the Avengers should be trying to track her down and take
somebody
her in
should, yeah.
Because she's straight up a villain and did a lot of damage.
It's definitely still odd that Doctor Strange, like,
it's a glaring hole, yes.
I assume we're going to get an answer for that in his movie, you know, they're going to do some type of flashback where he's like, oh man, that's going on, but I'm stuck over here doing this thing. Right?
Universe, yeah.
It's very unlikely that he was going to show up from the beginning, but because,
but in terms of the universe.
Yeah. Like, because there was a precedent of him stopping Thor immediately as he and Loki like landed. Now, I guess what Loki did is still considered worse, you know, taking over Asgard and bringing the Chitauri to New York, and it's still considered worse, but he should be like just as interested at this.
You would think so. And, you know, like we pointed this out a couple episodes ago, like it's very close to where Doctor Strange's like home base is, you know, and so it's definitely odd. I get that, like, from a production standpoint, he wasn't going to show up, but narratively it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I am glad, though, that Wanda was actually confronted by the town when Agatha was able to release everybody. I think it was important that she really be forced to see what she's done, because it doesn't absolve her that she's blocked it out or did it subconsciously or whatever. She still did these things, and she refused to believe that it was true, you know, until it was thrown into her face. And I think that that was important. I'm definitely concerned about her ability to become good, because we see her in the tail end in the post-credit scene continuing to study fairly dark magic, out in the wilderness.
Come on,
yeah.
It's a book about her. Like, of course she's gonna read it.
But you know,
like, if you there was a book out there about you,
I would not want to read a book about you. Absolutely not. It'd be the most boring book in the world.
I'm not saying she doesn't have a right to know what's in there, or that she doesn't, you know, she shouldn't be interested. My point is, though, is that she leaves and goes off with no consequences for her actions, right? All she loses is what didn't already exist for her, right? She doesn't actually get consequences of the things that she did to that town, to those people. She just gets to go off to a lake somewhere and read about the book. And if she was really concerned with what she did, if she really felt like she wronged these people and needed to better understand her magic, then she should have gone to Doctor Strange. She knows him at this point, or knows of him at this point.
He's a friend from work.
I don't think they got to meet.
I mean, maybe they didn't, but
in Infinity War, they never met. In
I mean, it didn't show them meeting, but I mean, granted, every hero was in that last fight, so they were both together there for sure. I'm sure she's aware of his presence.
You're right. They had a ton of chances to get to know each other. Yeah.
I don't know. No, look, my point is just that she doesn't do anything at the end that makes me think she feels any remorse for her actions. I think she still, you know, she wants her kids back and she wants Vision back, right? And it hurts that they were taken away from her, but she doesn't actually feel bad for the torture that she essentially caused on these people.
Oh, I completely disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I totally think that she was unaware of the pain she was causing these people, and I think it does weigh on her. But because she has so much already weighing on her, she is learning to compartmentalize. And that's not going to be a good thing. You know, she's going to shut herself off, and she could be even more of a villain. It really could go multiple ways here, but I truly believe that she does know what she did. I just don't know exactly what.
I'm not saying she's not aware of it. I just don't know that she feels too bad about it, because she hasn't done anything that makes me think that she feels bad.
No, in fact, she locked another person into that for however long, you know, as a punishment, which I'm not saying that was wrong. You know, she was a bad person, obviously, but turn her over to S.W.O.R.D. or something like that, and you know, let them deal with it. S.H.I.E.L.D. had that bit.
She
that
has bait. No reason to trust S.W.O.R.D. at this point.
Fair enough, but I mean, punishing her for the rest of her life. She's not judge, jury, and executioner. You know, I don't know. I did like the way that ended, don't get me wrong, but yes, it was, but like finding out that you're causing all these people all this pain for however long and ruining their lives so much that they want to die, and then you lock this person into that same thing immediately after, like, doesn't show a lot of remorse for that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Chat wants us to talk a bit about the costumes, if anybody has anything that they would like to throw out there about anybody's costume.
Oh, is it Ian?
It's a person in chat.
Yeah. Like, I'm really happy that she finally got the good Scarlet Witch look, and they clearly have, well, she has the exact same designer as all the people in Asgard, and all the people on Xandar, and you know, nothing's changed.
Ironhead Studios did all the costumes for this. White Vision, Scarlet Witch, and you know, we've seen their work in a lot of Marvel productions. Batman v Superman, which is one of the best bat suits we've ever seen. I mean, they're responsible for some of the greatest superhero costumes ever, so
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Her costume was one of the, is one of the best in the MCU. The only thing that bothers me about it is all the people online, which isn't really related to the costume design, but all the people online, they're like, oh, they took inspiration from Magneto. It's like, okay, they both wear red, and like, you know, come on, there's no inspiration from the Fox Magneto other than the fact that they're wearing red. I mean,
bitches need to chill.
Yeah, just chill out. It's a red costume. The tiara was really cool. I wasn't sure how they were going to pull that off and make it look nice, but
and there is already a 3D print pattern out there if you want to.
There's like 30 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on Etsy and search and you'll find a whole bunch of them. And none of them are mine, so I, you know, go support all these other makers, but yeah. I like the way they did the gloves. I like the way they did the kind of corset that went down into like the leggings skirt type deal.
I love that she's wearing pants.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they did a really good job with the costume.
Tights.
And Agatha's costume was cool as well. So
Agatha had a very unique look that you don't really see in the MCU.
More of a traditional witch look.
Mm-hmm. Scarlet Witch's costume was, you know, pretty stereotypical for MCU. Doesn't mean it's bad. It means it's pretty common. And I enjoyed it. But Agatha's was something that we hadn't seen at all yet.
Definitely not typical MCU.
What'd you guys think of White Vision?
It was so cool. It was a nice way to call back to the comics, as well as differentiate him from the created Vision.
Not a lot of heroes in the MCU wearing white, so that's a good way of, you know, making him stand out among the group. I think it'll make it very difficult to film anything he's in, because white is a weird color with lighting and things like that. But overall, I think it looks great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting kind of seeing like the level of detail that you can see when the character is that color, because, you know, the lines are totally different, and just the way the shading works out is very interesting. I thought he looked really good. I don't really know the comic book version of the character, so I thought it was an interesting choice, not really knowing that there was a White Vision before that post-credit scene a couple of weeks ago. I still think that it was a nice change. The other Vision, the old Vision, whatever we want to call him, yeah, his color seemed to change a little bit depending on what you saw him in. You know, his look in Age of Ultron doesn't quite match what he looked like in WandaVision, and you know, that kind of
thing. But he's been shown to like adjust his costume, so
he does.
Like, he added a cape at that one point, and you know. Mm-hmm. So that's not as big a deal to me. He can clearly adjust the way he looks. So
will he stay as the White Vision, or do you think now that he knows who he is, he'll change back?
I hope he stays as the White Vision. It's a symbol of what he's gone through, you know what I mean? And maybe he doesn't have that ability now. Maybe that was something that the original Vision had, you know. It's hard to say. I mean,
theoretically the stone, not stone, the power source.
Would arc reactor.
Yeah, would continue to stay its normal color, even if he changed his exterior colors.
Right. Well,
any thoughts on that?
Any thoughts, Ray?
No.
I didn't want to interrupt if you had something to say.
I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
I want to talk about the elephant in the room.
I don't remember any elephants.
There was an elephant, a really big elephant, named Mephisto.
No, there's not.
Oh, there is. And I'm going to tell you why right now. I think that I was being a little overambitious with Mephisto because, and we talked about this last episode.
I think we all were.
Episode 8, like we had all kind of talked about how if they brought Mephisto in episode 9, that would be kind of overshadowing Agatha's character. And none of us really liked that idea. And I'm glad they didn't go that route. So yeah, but I do still think Mephisto played a role in this, and I think it'll come out in Doctor Strange 2, but it's never really explained where the kids come from because Wanda did not create them as much as we can tell.
And she couldn't control them.
And Agatha didn't put them there.
How do we know that Wanda didn't create them any more than she created Vision?
Because she created Vision it showed her creating Vision and she knew that she created Vision, whereas the kids just kind of showed up. Maybe she created them subconsciously, but
she was pregnant. She had to give birth. It wasn't like they were just in the living room one day.
I know, but like she just developed the pregnancy and it was a big surprise to her. You know what I mean? Vision she created it, you know, but and I'm not saying you're wrong. You absolutely could be right because they did disappear they started to disappear when Vision started to disappear. But I think that was partial, like they, you know, Quicksilver calling them Devil Spawn and the references to the devil throughout the show. I feel like that Mephisto, like in the comic books, had a part in that. And, you know, you see in the Loki trailer, there's the big scene with like the church stained glass with the devil in the middle. I think Mephisto is going to play a role. It played a role in this. I think he's going to play a role in the Loki show, at least like in the background. And then that's all going to be revealed in Doctor Strange 2. He's going to be like the Lex Luthor that's manipulating Doctor Strange and Wanda to fight each other in Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, Mephisto's coming.
Yeah, it's either Mephisto or Nightmare, but I tend to put my money on Mephisto in this case. So,
well, see, I was kind of taking it as that line Agatha has towards the end, you know, where, you know, you have no idea what you've, what's the exact quote, unleashed or started or
something,
whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I assume that's what she was referring to, was Mephisto. So, like, he wasn't involved, but now he is. Is kind of how
she references the devil several times in the show as well. So, and those could have been red herrings. I don't think they were. I think we're meant to think they were red herrings now.
No, the only thing I think is a red herring was actually Dottie.
Yeah.
Is casting someone like Emma Caulfield, who is a notorious actor for playing witches and demons, and like she is just constantly cast as a supernatural character, casting her was a red herring, and they said that.
I mean, the whole show has kind of has been kind of a big troll. So if Doctor Strange 2 starts with Wanda waking up from a nap and the whole thing was a dream, I'm not going to be surprised.
I would be pissed.
I didn't say I'd be happy. I said I wouldn't be surprised.
So that after credit scene with Wanda,
yeah,
we should talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
Because it can mean a couple different things. I know there are a lot of theories out there that Wanda created a split personality for herself. And that's why sometimes she knew what she was doing and other times she did not.
I don't think that is. I think it's a throwback to Doctor Strange when, if you remember, he was sleeping. He had like the astral projection that was learning.
And that's the vibe that I got too.
Yeah, I think that's the way it was intended, especially considering they played the Doctor Strange theme for that after credit scene. But the difference is that in Doctor Strange, he was asleep when that was happening. She's wide awake doing coffee, you know, getting coffee or tea or whatever that was she was drinking and doing other things while this is going on. And Doctor Strange is never shown to be able to do that. So that kind of shows in line with her being more powerful than Doctor Strange.
And Agatha just flat out saying, you know, the Scarlet Witch is more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme.
Right.
But we all know that it's not always the most powerful person that wins. Doctor Strange is very clever with his use of magic, and he's got more control over his abilities, at least the last time we saw him. than Wanda
well, it's,
does.
Well, just it's the what's the better witch, wizard, Harry Potter, Hermione thing. Hermione has to study, and that's how she gets better. And Harry just has to try, and that's how he gets better. So, you know, I think it's going to be the exact same thing, only, you know, gender reversed.
Well, just look at Agatha and Wanda fighting in the last couple of episodes. You know, Agatha is nowhere near as powerful as Wanda is, but she could keep up and win in many cases if she had just kept her mouth shut about a couple of things and didn't, you know, monologue quite as much as villains tend to do. She might have actually won.
Yeah. Yeah, if she had kept her mouth shut about the protection runes or whatever. Yeah, it's
That was a fun callback.
It was.
Oh my god, when that happened.
Yeah, it was. Also,
I
if you
love look, that scene.
So in her costume, we were talking about her costume earlier, and Ian in our chat might already know this or might not, but you can see all the runes from the protection rune that she casts in her costume. The headdress has one of the runes in it. The belt buckle has another one of the runes in it. Those are the only two that I was able to spot, but I'm guessing somewhere on the costume are the other two runes.
Yeah, so that I would bet the cape or the corset. Probably.
I think it's more just a callback than it is an actual like protection spell on her. But
I mean, think about it though. If that worked, that means no one could reach into her mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is a pretty cool idea. And that's a really unique way to use that type of magic. I like that as a possibility.
Imagine the costume designer doing that. And then later on, it
that happened. Being part of the story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah, but I only recognize that because I've seen so many pictures of the people have 3D modeled the props and stuff, you know, that I recognize the runes and went back and looked. I'd be curious where the other two runes, because it was four runes, right?
Yeah.
Maybe like on the boots or something.
Where the other two runes are, if they're just like maybe a piece on each of her gloves or something.
Yeah, like
gauntlets, I'm just waiting for Hot Topic to come out with like a rune necklace for me. That's what I want.
To keep your neck safe.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that happens for you.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
So what else, guys? Is there anything else about WandaVision, the finale, or anything that you think is worth bringing up at this time?
I think this is the most emotional I have been through a story. Watching her choose to undo everything and watching her walk away from it, the goodbyes that they gave her, very powerful. So I think that it was just an emotional end.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And that does remind me of the fact that another episode, you know, we were talking about maybe Wanda created them or maybe Mephisto put them in there. But the fact that she says, thank you for choosing me as your mom, that's a really weird way to say goodbye, right? Like, well, they didn't choose anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a real kid, like in a normal kid situation, like your guy's daughter did not choose you as her parents.
Okay, so right? Weird Christian theory that every child who will be born is in heaven and chooses their parents.
So you think Wanda's a Christian?
No.
Okay. I was gonna say, where is this going?
No, I just thought that, you know.
Breaking.
I'm thinking that the chaos magic witch that can bend the multiverse is probably not a believer in theism.
No,
he's worked with a literal god.
I like Ray's point because that line didn't come off really weird to me either. I've heard it's not like a normal saying, I guess, but I've definitely heard it before.
I just think there's more context.
Maybe there is.
What was implied?
Maybe.
Anyway, but yes, the emotional, it was extremely emotional. I'm glad she finally actually got to say goodbye to Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Because in all the deaths he's had, she hasn't gotten to do that. But the, you know, I liked the whole, you know, we've said goodbye before, so, you know, it stands to reason that we'll say hello again. That was a nice line.
He had some really, really good quotes.
Poignant lines in this show.
You know, I think he really got some of the best lines in the MCU during his tenure as Vision. He really did. And he delivers them really well. That final scene with the two of them, you know, in the living room as the hex is approaching and everything was just good. It was a really good scene. They both just totally nailed it. And, you know, I'll be very curious to see if either of them get nominated for Emmys next year. I think that it's easy to pass up shows like this because, you know, it's comic book stuff, but that's been taken more seriously in recent years.
Well, and I hope they all feel confident submitting themselves.
Yeah, I definitely think that at this point, Disney's just like, submit for everything.
They really are. They have been, at least for the past few years.
I mean, even DC submitted Wonder Woman 84 for like every category.
That's not entirely fair, though. Like, Grey's Anatomy submits all 500 of their actors every year unless the actor themselves pull out of it. Like, that's just part of the game that they play.
Sure.
Well, then I guess they don't have to be worried about submitting themselves then, huh?
Right. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't mind them doing that because it just evens the playing field. If quote, legitimate dramas, you know, do that type of thing, then, you know, I don't see a problem with the stuff I like doing that as well. Right. Because sometimes it is good enough, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next up then, here's our plan. So next week we are actually, we did a poll in the Screen Heroes podcast forum on Facebook asking you, our listeners, what we should talk about next week. We gave you four options for DC films, half of which were animated. And we are going with Watchmen, the movie, not the HBO series. We're going with the actual film. I know that Ray and I are going to watch the director's cut. Ryan, feel free to watch whichever version you want.
What version is on HBO Max? Because that's what I'll be watching.
Don't know. I've got the Blu-ray. I'm not sure.
I know there's probably no blue dong on any of the versions.
No, so. they fixed that very early on in its theatrical run, let alone its release later. I think like you basically had to see it opening weekend.
Yep.
So, so we're talking about Watchmen next week. The week after that is a very special double week where we will be covering both Zack Snyder's Justice League, so the Snyder Cut, and the premiere of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We'll be doing two episodes, 2 days in a row, Monday the 22nd and Tuesday the 23rd, live on Facebook at the Screen Heroes Podcast public page. That's what we'll be doing. So you can join us either or both nights. And then we'll be releasing those episodes the following day after we record them. So big week that week. Otherwise, we are available everywhere. We're everywhere that you can find us. You can find us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter, Screen Heroes Pod on Facebook. We're at DericoStudios.com where you can stream all 241 of our episodes from the last 5+ years. You can find me at the Star Trek Dude on Twitter if you'd like to talk to me. Ray, where can people find you?
I'm at Siren Ray.
And Ryan, where can people find you?
At Buster Props.
And thank you to everybody who joined us live during our stream on Facebook. Thank you to everyone who's joined our Facebook group. We love talking news, memes, polls, all that fun stuff. Spoiler threads, you know it. Join us next week as we talk Watchmen. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining us.